there are also two philosophies, I would say, how to produce wheat beers. Those two philosophies can be mature or condition your wheat beer in a bottle as a bottle maturing or in a tank. These two processes is very common now today in the industry. And the bottle conditioning is a little bit, I would say, the more traditional variant of a version of maturing the wheat beer. And the tank is the more actual modern process to do it. Was very strongly developed actually here in Weihenstephan at the university. Professor Back in his times here in Weihenstephan when he was the head of the Brewing Institute where you are now working, did a lot of research on that. But there is this general saying that like bottle matured wheat beers are more aromatic than like wheat beers that are produced in tank process, in a tank process. So what would you say? Is this still true or is this more like, well, hard to say today? And in a blind tasting, would you guess which beer is made through what process?
So I guess the bottle conditioning is still the one that is used more. I think it depends on the philosophy of the brewery, how you do it. In the end, I wouldn't, in most cases, I think I wouldn't taste the difference because, you, as you said, bottle conditioned beers are usually more aromatic. But of course, you can, let's say, push the aromas in different ways, from raw materials to your fermentation. And I think, therefore, it's quite hard to distinguish.
There were, in the last, I would say, 20, 30 years, there was a lot of progress in that part. And also, Weihenstephan, the university, and did a lot of research on that. So, also very interesting, because we had a philosophy discussion going on here in the brewery quite a time, because with our new Helles we introduced more than a year ago here in the brewery, that was the first time we ever used the infusion mashing instead of a decoction mashing in the brew house. There we also did blind tasting on do we recognize or can taste it, the difference if it was in infusion mashing or in decoction mashing and so on. This is also then kind of a philosophy question, how about bottle fermentation, tank fermentation or conditioning in that case. And this was very interesting. That's why it was also pretty hard to say what was infusion mashing, what was decoction mashing, you know. So, a very, very interesting thing. And that's why I want to hear your opinion on that as a sensorial expert. But I guess when it comes to this question, we will talk in another episode when it comes to lager beers about that.
But this is also a big topic for us because we do a lot of business in other countries and the stability and taste is something we need to achieve. And then it's better to have the maturation in tanks and not in bottles because there you can still, when it's in the tank, you can still influence the taste. And if something's off, you can, you know, just intervene.
And when it's in a bottle, then it's...
Exactly, it's just...
It's there.
It's gone.
then work is done, and then you just can hope. But yeah, you're much more flexible and can much more work on long-term stability and quality when you're working on a tank process.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about taste now, and there's a lot of people who just, you know, they find the banana in the wheat beers, they find the cloves in the wheat beers. But they also find like other tastes, like strawberry or something. Is that something people make up, or is it actually a thing? So, because if I speak from a little experience, I taste the banana, I taste the cloves, but that's pretty much it. So, do people just say, "All right, I have to taste something different now. Let's just make up some fruit, and that's fine with me," or is that actually, you know, is it actually true?
First off, there are of course guys who brag about, "Oh, I can smell this and that aroma."
Yeah.
But I guess from a scientific point of view, it's also it's true, of course, because for example, you can use not only a top fermenting yeast in your maturation process or in your conditioning process, but also a bottom fermenting yeast, and they tend to deliver more ethyl esters, which are characteristics or aromas are Red Bull flavor, like energy drink, strawberry, apple, and if you push it enough, you can also end up with a wheat beer that smells like strawberry or apple. Okay. So that's, of course, true.
So people don't lie when they say that. They might actually taste
some
that.
People don't lie.
Some people. Other question, which is also very important for us as a very export-oriented brewery, but also your opinion on that would be very helpful. Aging of wheat beer, a big topic, because it's also part of your PhD work, but they are based on lager beers. But when it comes to the aging of wheat beers, how does this work, or how is the impact on the aging of beer on Bavarian-style wheat beers?
So the key difference between bottom and top fermenting beers in regards to aging is that, as I said before, the top fermenting beers, they have a lot more aroma compounds. And therefore, they can also mask more things that go on, which might influence the beer negatively. So in the bottom fermenting beers, you usually find aging impacts like cardboard aroma, bready flavors, ripe flavors, and in extreme stages also sherry-like. And those are usually quite anhedonic.
So people would rate them as more likely negative.
Exactly. So it's more negative, let's say. And you basically have the same aging mechanisms going on in a wheat beer as well, but due to the masking effects and the overall higher aroma fraction, you don't end up in these cardboard aromas. You would get more like buttermilk, and I think buttermilk is more accepted than a cardboard aroma, and therefore it's
so better the for the higher amount and the higher intensity of this wide range of aroma compounds in the wheat beer covers it pretty good when the beer is aging.
Exactly.
And that's also something I experienced on my trips. Is it Australia or is it USA? Doesn't matter. Is that the wheat beers taste there absolutely good, because I guess the main aspects you're looking for in a wheat beer, as what we talked about, this is this like creamy mouthfeel, you know, the carbonation, the banana, the phenolic flavors, and those key flavors are still there when the beer is kind of older than compared to a fresh one, and they're still there. So very key aspects of the beer that people are expecting to be there, they are still there, and they are not going away that fast or that intensely, maybe through aging, than maybe in another style. So I guess that's why it makes it so successful for many breweries to export Bavarian style wheat beers.
Yeah, I would completely agree on that.
Yeah. So the aging of beer is a very interesting topic, especially for every exporting brewery. And that's why also for us it's a very, very interesting that guys like you are doing their scientific work, like you with your PhD on that, because I guess this will help not just us, it will help any brewery with the knowledge that comes out of such tests and such field that can help making beer better. So on that case, on behalf of all beer drinkers, thank you.
You're welcome.
We've been talking a lot about wheat beer now and how it tastes, but there's not only the Bavarian classic wheat beer there, but there are other types of it. Do you mind, you know, just telling us about one or two, maybe something that springs to your mind?
I think the most common one, except the Bavarian style, is wheat beer. Mm-hmm. Sounds pretty much the same, but it's Belgium.
WIT for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And since the Belgians are not bound to the German purity law, they can use different aromatic substances, let's say, and they use coriander and orange peel, and these compounds they give a completely different aroma to the beer as well, especially in combination with this top fermenting esters and phenolic compounds, and therefore that would be the one go-to thing.
Yeah. All right. So
there's especially in the USA also. Very interesting brewery, Allagash, with the Allagash White, also kind of wheat beer, international wheat beer style, whatever, how you would define it, but also very interesting class of top fermented wheat beers that I strongly recommend to try.
So, talking about trying something, last question. As a sensory expert, you have to be a big fan of food pairing.
It's a test.
So last season we talked about the most classic and most traditional Bavarian food pairing, which is the white sausage, the Weißwurst, and the classic Bavarian Hefeweißbier. Do you agree that this is a good food pairing, and what is your personal recommendation?
I would agree on Weißwurst and wheat beer, and because on the one side the fruity aroma is quite a contrast, and also the creaminess can take away some of the fat of the sausage, and therefore I think it goes quite well together. I'm always a big fan of you should drink and combine or with the food combine it with the drink you like, but I would say wheat beer fits well with salads and fish in general. Because you try to have light with light and fruity with fruity maybe, and that works quite well.
Yeah, I also agree on that. Especially one of my favorites is having a wheat beer to kind of fruity spicy Asian food, like a Thai food, which is also a lot with fruit components, but also sometimes spicy and hot. And there the creaminess of the wheat beer can kind of be a balance to the hotness and also supports like the fruity aromas. And so I'm pretty big fan of having a wheat beer and Asian spicy fruity Asian food to it, like Thai.
Works well, I think.
And I think that's a wonderful ending. Thank you, Florian, for being here again. And as we said,
you will come back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being with us again. And we'll hear from you next time.
Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you.